This is an interview done with Madge Yoder Smith on October 13, 1979, in Torrington, Wyoming. The interviewer is Patricia Hale.
Well, just to start off, let's talk about your family for a few minutes, about when you were growing up. You were from a pretty large family.
Yes, there I have four brothers and three sisters.
Were your family original homesteaders?
Not, I suppose you would call it homesteading. My father bought a relinquishment from his sister, and that's, of course, we lived on it, and then I suppose proved up on it. I don't know that.
Uh-huh. Where are you in the family as far as age goes?
I'm right in the middle. I'm the youngest girl. And I have had two brothers older and two brothers younger.
Yeah. So, as the youngest girl, do you think you had to do a lot of housework or not so much?
I think I was always excused. The older girls did the work and I played outside with one of my brothers.
Uh-huh. Did that affect your later life as far as liking to do housework, do you think?
No, I don't think so, because I lived, when I was first married, I lived where I had to do my own housework. I couldn't get help.
When you were first married, you lived out in Hawk Springs?
Well, yes, that's where we lived after I was married. Mm-hmm. My husband had, I don't know what you call it, there was an irrigation project out there, and he had a piece of land under the Hawk Springs project. And that's about a mile and, near 2 miles, I guess, from where I was born, that ranch. Across the creek.
So you've stayed in quite a narrow radius.
Yes.
You went into Torrington to go to school, though?
To go to high school. Well, 8th grade and high school, we came to Torrington. Because the rural schools, well, my father was the first assessor at Goshen County, and when he moved to Torrington, we all moved to Torrington, and I was in the 8th grade.
Oh. How did you decide what you wanted to do after you finished high school?
Well, I taught school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went I had 1 year of normal training, and then I had 3 summers, summer school in Laramie. I think the pirates are having a bad time.
Oh dear, I'm keeping you away.
No, that's all right. And we both taught. We taught up at Iowa Center. They had a consolidated school up there with 4 teachers and a teacherage.
A teacherage?
Uh-huh.
What's that?
Well, it was a house that had 3 bedrooms and a kitchen and a dining room, and we took turns cooking. I had to do half of the work, half of the cooking, because there were 2 of us.
Uh-huh.
And the other 2 were just single girls. And it was about a half mile from the schoolhouse. And but the first year we taught up there, we lived out of the end of the school bus route, and Chris drove the school bus, picked up the kids and came in and taught school all day, and then took them home at night.
When did they get a school bus?
How long has there been one?
Well, Oreo was 8 to 6.
Huh?
Oreo was 8 to 6.
It was our school bus. We bought it. The district didn't buy it.
When did you get that?
Well, it'd be, I think, 1921.
Did you and your husband buy that with your own money?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And then, did the students help buy gasoline or anything?
No, the district, of course, paid us for hauling the children.
Was this a new plan? Or something that had been done before?
No. No, it was the first year for that consolidated school, and they had the first year of high school and then all the grades. Mm-hmm. My husband taught the high school, and I taught the wee ones.
How did you meet your husband?
At a dance. At a 4th of July dance on an outdoor platform under the big willows, just on our ranch, practically.
Was he a local boy?
No. He came from Nebraska, from Lincoln. And he came out when they had that land drawing, and he got that piece of land, he came out to live on it.
Was it love at first sight?
Oh, I suppose. He went to the army before we were married. When he came back, then we were married. We've been married 60 years last June.
That is really something. Did you have a big party?
Not for our 60th. We did for our 50th. We just went all out, for our 60th, we thought people had celebrated our 50th. We let them alone for our 60th.
Did you have a large wedding?
We were married at my folks' ranch. No, I wouldn't say it was a large wedding. We had, his folks came out from Lincoln. And he had a big family, and the brothers and sisters and their families came, and my folks, and some of my friends from Torrington here, some of the girls, the girl that played the piano, my bridesmaids.
Were weddings often a big deal back then like they seem to be now?
No, they were simpler. I belonged to the Presbyterian Church here, and the minister came out and married us, but no, it wasn't. And I don't remember that they had big weddings. My sisters didn't.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a white gown?
Yes, a white gown. I still have it.
Did your mother make that?
No, I bought it.
You bought it?
Mm-hmm. It was Georgette crepe with beads all over it. Oh, gorgeous.
And you've kept it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And the little flower girl's dress, I had it too.
Was marriage something you looked forward to when you were in high school?
I don't think so. I really didn't. I wanted to go to school, of course, and be a fine teacher, but I didn't.
Well, you taught.
Yes, I taught before I was married, and I taught after I was married, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly after I was married.
What did your husband think of you working after you married?
Well, he didn't object, because I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Was teaching something you had wanted to do for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a favorite teacher?
That was pretty much the thing that the girls did then, you know. There weren't all the different callings that girls can occupy their time with now, like you coming clear out from Connecticut to go to school.
Oh, my mind's blinking out again. When you were living in that, what did you call it, the teacherage?
Teacherage, yeah.
Teacherage. Was that a real unusual idea?
Yes, it was.
Who thought that up?
Well, I suppose the school district. They had to provide a place for the teachers to live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about the Iowa Center community, they're all farmers and all widely separated. And we just, I think, there was a vacant house, and it was a nice house, and enough room for the four of us. And I don't remember, I suppose that the district made it available. I don't remember.
Did you enjoy that living situation?
Yeah, it was fun. Because the two girls were real congenial. We knew one of them before we went up there. And, yeah, we had lots of fun. We went to Chugwater every Friday night to a dance. And Saturday when we went to Chugwater shopping to buy our groceries for the next week. And if it was my turn to cook, then I made out the shopping list and bought it. We put each one anteed into the kitty, and then we used that to buy our food. And of course we could walk to school because it was such a short distance down there. And I enjoyed it. We had fun. We quit teaching because Chris decided to run for county superintendent of schools of Goshen County.
Uh-huh.
So he did. And then we moved to Torrington when that.
He became the county commissioner?
Yes. Uh-huh.
When did you open up your flower shop?
Let's see. I believe it was about 1930 or 35. I suppose I could find out exactly, but it just as I think is long about.
How did you decide to do that?
You know, I wonder. Never thought how I happened to think that I'd like to do it. I've always liked flowers and to always raise them. You must see my violets before you leave, too.
Oh, Africans?
African violets. And
what, in this flower shop, did you sell all flowers that you had grown yourself?
Oh, no, none. I bet he doesn't hear that, excuse him.
Okay.
Well, I was deputy county superintendent when Chris was superintendent.
What duties did you have in with that?
Pardon?
What duties did you have?
While he was out, you see, there were about 70 rural schools then. Now there aren't, but and he was out visiting them. Someone had to be in the office, and I was it. I stayed in the office.
What kind of things were you concerned with as a superintendent of schools? Excuse me.
Keeping the grades and the files, and when people came in and wanted to know, oh, about the schools, I was supposed to be able to tell them. It wasn't a very busy job, I can tell you, but the office had to be open.
Mm-hmm. Somebody mentioned to me that some of the teachers worked very hard to get the roads paved. Do you remember anything about that? I don't know if that was...
That wouldn't concern the teachers, would it?
Well, I think it was to help the students get to school.
Well, that might be. I hadn't heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something new to me.
Oh, maybe I've got the facts confused. What do you remember about the Depression?
Not very much. I tell you, I don't think the Depression affected me very much. We were never rich, but we were never in want. And that wasn't the time when I ran the flower shop, and it was... Oh, I do too. It did too affect me, because it was hard to get gasoline to go to Denver for supplies. I remember that.
What kind of supplies did you buy in Denver?
Well, let's see. Little vases and ribbons and all the things that go to make a flower shop, and wedding supplies, and I always brought flowers back with me when I came. Otherwise, they came on the bus. You could phone down before 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and your flowers would come on the bus the next morning. But of course, if you were down there, you could see what you wanted and say, "I want this and this and this."
When money got tight, did the business suffer?
Yes, I think it did. But I don't remember being concerned about collections and so forth. Your greatest trouble was collecting from other florists. Isn't that funny?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What would other florists buy from you?
Well, suppose there was a wedding here, and or a funeral. Funerals were the most things. And she would have a lot of orders for that funeral. She'd phone them to me, and I'd fill the orders.
Did you do your own collecting for bills?
Uh-huh. It was all very simple. Simple operation. We belonged to the Florist Telegraph Delivery Association and got orders through them at Christmas and holidays usually. And of course in the case of weddings or funerals.
But the Depression for you personally wasn't too hard.
No. And I don't say that boastfully either, but it just wasn't.
Do you remember any banks closing?
Yes.
Did that frighten you about banks?
Yes, it does. And it does again, too. Although I don't think it will get that bad.
Did Did you personally lose money when the banks closed?
No, the bank had closed. We didn't happen to have our savings account there.
Were the people who ran that bank unpopular after that? Did they suffer, do you think, personally?
One man moved away. The other one, I don't think so. I don't think particularly. The other man that owned that bank died, but his wife is still living and I'm very friendly with her. She's a nice person. But of course, I wasn't affected by that.
Did
you know, it's vastly different in a little town where you know everyone. And it's largely an agricultural county. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to ask you, how did people react who did lose money when the bank closed? And were the storekeepers good about giving credit if it was needed?
I wish I could tell you more about that, but I can't.
Okay.
I just don't know about... I live by my father's rule. He said, pay as you go, and if you can't pay, don't go. So I did very, very little charging. Even when I owned the flower shop, I met the monthly bills always. That's one reason it was a little business, was because you didn't expand. And
were you the only flower shop in town?
For a while. Then there was another one. There was competition. And of course she got her share of it. And I got awfully tired of working with flowers. So I sold it.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about World War II when the United States entered?
Scared to death. I had... I had a brother in World War I and one in World War II, and Chris for a while and one in World War I. Nephews, I had three of them, one a pilot and one... What am I trying to say? He was in Air Force Two. And the other one was just in the army. Luckily, none of them were killed. But it was a bad time for everybody, the dead people in there.
Do you think you felt patriotic about it?
Oh, yes. Mercy, yes. Flag waving and everything. But not about the last one. Not about the Vietnam one. And I had... Well, he isn't a nephew, but he's, I think, as much of him as I would a nephew that went to Vietnam. And you can't get him to say a word about that. He just doesn't talk about it.
Makes you think that something really terrible happened there.
Well, I think the whole thing was such a mistake. And
but World War II, you felt very positive about?
Well, I felt it was a thing we had to do. I think maybe I was a little more flag waving in World War I. Because I was just a kid, you know, and sounded like a big deal to me.
Did you ever wish you could go and fight?
No.
Did you take part in any relief activities during World War II? I don't know if that's the
yes.
right word.
Well, I think I know what you mean. Oh, yes, we rolled bandages and for the Red Cross. And did any sort of money-raising project that they had. But I just remember those sessions of rolling bandages.
Where did you do that?
Down in a hotel dining room here. All the women gathered together on Thursday afternoons and did that.
So you felt that you were taking part in the effort? There weren't any defense plants around here, were there?
No. No, nothing like that.
Can you remember, were there any people who seemed to be against the war?
Well, I'm sure there were. I don't remember them. I think they would be very quiet about it. But undoubtedly there were. I had a niece that said, they'll not take my son. If they want to, they can take me, but they'll not take my son. I don't think they wanted her son. He was too young.
Oh. What did you think about her attitude?
I laughed up my sleeve. Because if they wanted that son, they'd get him regardless.
What did people think about boys who didn't want to go over?
Is Betty Claudine here? No.
Is Betty coming?
I think she's already come and gotten my friends.
Oh,
I think.
That'd be an awful, awful thing in this little settlement to have been a slacker. It'd be just awful. And I felt the same way about the boys that didn't want to go to Vietnam. They were no better than the boys that had to go, the ones that went to Canada. I never thought they should have been given the pardon that...
Are you Mrs. Hale?
Yes.
Well, I'll see what you want.
Maybe you better go and see what she wants. To Alaska, well, first to Canada and then to Alaska in defense work. That's the worst coffee I ever tasted. That'll go on there. And
you'll be famous.
At that time, the school superintendent would not allow a single girls to have apartments. They just couldn't, he just wouldn't allow it. They had to live with a family. So I have four bedrooms upstairs, and I fill them with school teachers. And we had a merry time, I tell you.
Even in World War II, the school superintendent would not let those girls live alone? What did you think of that?
Well, of course, we thought he was an old fuddy-duddy. But if the girls went in, of course, they couldn't be married. They had to be single.
The school teachers had to be single? Why is that?
Did you never know of the time when married teachers couldn't teach?
I knew that during the Depression, a lot of married women were thrown out of the university. But I didn't realize that all school teachers were single. No.
Well, it might have been just in this particular high school, but that's, or this school system, that's the way it was. This is counted. The school superintendent said they should have some supervision. And of course, I just let them do what they wanted to do anyway. But, so I did that and ran the flower shop along with it. But I had a girl that did the work here, did the cooking and everything. And all I had to do was to supervise. I always made out the week's menu and bought the food, and she cooked it.
When you were teaching,
lots of things.
Pardon?
I said we have done. And I was running the flower shop. He did lawn work, putting in sprinkling systems for people. That was just beginning to be the thing. And also, I guess you'd call it a tree surgeon. He worked with the trees, that part of the flower business. And he stopped doing it about the same time I sold the store. It and still people like that call. He just got this old lady just devils him to.
Oh, it's all right. You haven't said a name. Nobody will know anything.
Come over and work over her sprinkling system. But we feel that we've just done about, I know this house is much too big for me. We also own the little brick house next door, which would be about right for us. What in the world would I do with all the stuff I have in this house?
I know what you mean.
From the top clear through the basement. Some of it I couldn't bear it apart with, and what would I do with it? That's age for you.
When you were teaching, when you were, before you were married, did they have a list of regulations, sort of a conduct guidebook?
No, I taught a country school. I lived at home, out on the ranch, and taught a country school about 5 miles away, and I rode horseback. And my youngest brother went to school to me and rode horseback, too. And I don't think there was ever any question of conduct. I can't. There was a time, as I say, about when those teachers were living with me, that maybe they just felt it was time for them to break away or something, but they did do things that maybe they shouldn't have.
Like what?
And the super
tell me.
Well, of course, I didn't think it was so bad. Of course, dancing has always been the Western entertainment. Ever since I was 6 years old, I'd go to dances with my mother and father and all the brothers and sisters. And so I just think it was all right, but there are lots of people that think dancing isn't a very nice entertainment. And that would shock this superintendent.
But those young teachers were dancing?
Yeah. They'd go and get dates, you know, and go maybe to Mitchell or Scott's Bluff or someplace, and maybe they wouldn't come home until a wee small hours in the morning. But they were living with a family, so they were above board.
Oh dear. Did you see a lot of clothing changes? If they always call the 20s the Roaring 20s, did women here wear the short skirts and things like that?
Oh, I remember that period. Yes, short skirts, and I just hated them because I wasn't built for them. But, and slit skirts. I wasn't old enough to have anything like that. I remember women in this town that did, and I just thought they were so pretty, but I don't suppose my mother would let me have had one anyway, because I wasn't old enough.
But they were acceptable? Slit skirts and short skirts?
They were acceptable, yes. As far as I know, there might have been people that looked down on, but I don't know.
How about cosmetics?
As far as I can remember, women have always used it.
When did you start wearing makeup?
Oh, I suppose in high school. That'd be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, but I think that's probably when I thought lipstick was pretty nice then.
Did women ever smoke cigarettes?
Practically every girl that lived in this house and taught school smoked.
Did people think that was all right?
No, but they didn't know it.
They smoked in secret?
They'd smoke here in the evenings.
Did you think that was okay?
Yes. If they wanted to, I wouldn't tell them not to.
Uh-huh. It's interesting, the regional differences I'm getting. I talked to somebody in Cheyenne who just said, oh, anybody smoked, even in secret, they were just... might have just been a stricter person in charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know it's teachers in Cheyenne that smoke.
What about temperance?
Well, that's another thing entirely, as far as I'm concerned. And of course, I think you're only hurting yourself when you smoke. But I can't remember that there was any of that went on either when I was in high school, not like it is now. We might have done things that we thought were just devilish, but I'm sure that wasn't one of them. Nor smoking. We weren't that far advanced. We just about 8 or 10 of us get in an old open Ford touring car and go down to Henry, which is about 7 or 8 miles east here, for picnics and things like that, boys and girls.
That wasn't considered devilish, was it?
No. No. And I imagine you notice a big difference between the East and out here. How long have you been out here?
3 years.
3 years.
Well, I never saw anybody in the East chew tobacco. I'd never seen things of tobacco in the drinking fountains. I
never saw that.
Oh, I've seen it at school. Little plugs of tobacco in the drinking fountain.
Oh.
It's just horrible. But that's just a petty thing. Was prohibition strictly enforced here?
Well, I don't think so. There was always the bootleggers, you know.
Were they considered okay?
The bootleggers?
Uh-huh.
No, they weren't, but the people that bought it were. They were all considered okay. I mean, they were respectable people that would buy it.
It's kind of a little contradiction, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Were you active in the women's club when you were...
I was. And then all the time that I taught or that I ran the flower shop, I couldn't belong to the women's club, but I belonged to it again, to the reading circle part of it.
Mm-hmm. But you couldn't belong because it met during the day?
Uh-huh.
What kind of things did the women's club do, say, before you ran the flower shop?
Well, they had a home demonstration agent, I remember. She lived with me, and she was always having to give a program on nutrition or things for the Christmas holidays and so forth. And I think there was some programs on things of public interest and national interest. I don't know that we ever got into politics. I don't remember a lot about those years in the Torrington Women's Club.
Can you remember any of the public interest or public affairs things that you were concerned with in the club?
I remember I gave one program on, I suppose you could call it a patriotic program. I don't remember what I did. But I remember seeing the program here not too long ago that said I gave a program, patriotic program. That was before I quit belonging.
Uh-huh.
But I belonged to a number of other organizations that I belonged to that I wouldn't give up when I had the flower shop.
Such as what? Which ones?
Well, there is a local organization here, it's called Community Dames, that's been going, I expect, 60 years. Oh, longer than that. And it's a restricted membership. 20 can belong.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want to give that up, and I would have the girl that worked for me ran the shop while I went to that. And then PEO, of course, that's always a night meeting, and I have belonged to that for 50 years.
And I've been trying to get someone
auxiliary.
Huh? I've been trying to get someone to tell me what PEO is.
Well, you won't know.
I know.
Oh, they say papas eat out and pigs eat oats and everything.
Oh, I'm not going to learn the secret, huh?
Well, I expect not.
What did the community dames do?
Well, the hospital, one of their projects is working for the hospital gift shop, I guess you'd call it. They manage that. Some of the members take turns working up there at the hospital. Oh, what do they do? It's supposed to be not exactly an educational, I guess it's a... everyone's supposed to, when they're called on for a program, to give, and it might be a book review, it might be, they might get some chorus from the high school to come in and sing. It's strictly a social club. Mm-hmm.
You have to be asked to join?
Yeah.
Is that an honor?
Well, I think it is, kind of. You'd live just as long if you didn't belong to it, but it's nice. I think it's a nice organization. Uh-huh. Trouble is, with a lot of these organizations that I belonged to when I was younger, we're all getting old now, you know. And if you don't get some new members, new blood in that organization, you're going to just die of old age. But that isn't true of Community Names. I mean, people move, some of the members move away, and then you can ask uh-huh. someone else to belong.
Dames. Have you been active in the American Legion Auxiliary?
Yes, I have been. I'm past state president of that, too. But I am not as active in that as I used to be. I go to the meetings, and I'm behind them 100%, but I don't want to work, if you know what I mean.
Resting on your laurels.
Yeah. I'll make cookies for them when they take them over to the Veterans Hospital and things like that, but I won't go out and beat the bushes for members and so forth.
Do you think that group is more service or social?
American Legion?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's service. It helps the hospitals, and any veteran's child can get help to go to school from. No, it's a worthy organization.
Uh-huh. What is the purpose of the auxiliary?
Well, to really, as far as I'm concerned, they do more with their membership than the Legion does, but they are just an auxiliary to the American Legion, uh-huh. you see.
They help out with the VA hospitals?
Yeah. Both, well, and, well, they have three. The one in Cheyenne and the one in Sheridan. And then there's an old soldier and sailor's home in Buffalo that they help with. Now, one thing the Community Dames is doing, they send gifts to the Evanston.
Oh, to the mental institution? Mm-hmm.
For them, you take your gift, and it's our next meeting. I have to think of something to take. It can be clothing, it can be anything that you want that you think they would like to have for their families. You know, in the hospitals, these people that are not able to be out, especially in the veterans' hospitals, they can't get out to shop for their families at home. So the auxiliary has a shopping day for that too, but they send these gifts over to Evanston. Now, I'm not sure whether they're just gifts for those inmates or whether you have to mark on it. On the outside, you wrap it in a Christmas wrapping, but you mark on a little slip that it's what it is, whether it's for a man or a woman. And then they, I don't know what they do with them. Uh-huh. But it's for that's for the mental hospital.
Has that been there for a long time, the Evanston Hospital?
I think it has been. I can't remember when there wasn't a silly farm there. Which isn't a nice way to speak of it.
Do you remember it being there, say, when you were in high school? Were you aware of people being crazy?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's, but I don't feel about those people the way I used to feel. I have more pity for them. You just, when you were a kid, you thought they were an oddity, and that's about all.
Mm-hmm. Have you had friends all your life? I mean, friends that you've had all your life is what I mean.
Yes. And especially since I... school friends. Don't have a lot of them left. I just, not too long ago, lost one that was very dear to me. But, yes, I have friends here that I've known ever since I came.
Mm-hmm.
A few. A lot of them have gone.
How do you feel? Say you had a friend when you were 20. And you see them aging as you age.
How do you feel about them or about me?
No, just,
Well, I think probably they're dearer to you in many ways than the newer friends. Because you've had so many experiences with them, and it's something that's... sort of hangs on to you, I guess.
Do you have friends that you tell your, say, your troubles to?
No, I pretty much keep my troubles to myself. I don't have any troubles.
That's a good thing.
Well, really. I lived a long, happy life. I'm not ready to give up yet, either. You get to be 80 years old and you don't have an ache nor a pain. Of course, I've lost about 25 pounds in the last 5 years for no reason. I don't know that I want that to go on that tape. I'm just talking, I guess.
Oh, that's all right. Oh, it doesn't matter. I wondered, who told you the facts of life when you were growing up?
I don't think my mother told me very much. I read some books, but kids are so well informed now, and I believe my mother was reticent. I think she was shy about talking to us.
Uh-huh.
I think my older sister probably told me things, and maybe mother had told her, but I don't think so. I don't think mothers did talk to their daughters then.
Do you think you were just expected to find it out from other kids?
I suppose. Easy to do, I guess.
Was that something you used to talk to your friends about?
I don't think so. I can't remember that we did. I think that came a later date.
Uh-huh. Did Girls. You think it was kind of an embarrassing thing to
yes,
talk about?
Yes, absolutely. I went to a country school, you see, until I was 12 or 13. And... we just didn't talk about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't, you know, there probably there would only be two or three in your class. And you're just awful anxious for recess to come so you could play games.
Mm-hmm. Was it completely unheard of for a teacher to say anything about sex?
Oh, absolutely.
even in high school.
Really? Never a mention?
Never a mention of that.
Of course, as farm kids, people, the kids probably knew pretty much, don't you think?
About reproduction, sure. Yeah. If you're around animals, and all of us were.
Yeah. Did your mother tell you about menstruation?
My grandmother told me about that.
It sounds like your mother was very shy.
I think she was.
What did you use back then for Kotex?
Cloths. Soft flannel cloths. I remember before, is this going on that day? I remember my older sisters had to go to Cheyenne from here to high school, both of them. And I was kind of a little kid, always hanging around. And I remember my mother making all of these pads to send with my sisters. And I didn't know why they needed all of those. I just hadn't any idea. But I found out later on.
Sounds kind of uncomfortable to me.
Yeah.
In the winter, did girls wear slacks?
No.
Even in Wyoming, where it is so cold in the winter and windy?
I can't remember people wearing slacks until the... Well, I remember the first woman I ever saw in slacks. I was running the flower shop, and she was a farm lady. And I saw her going across the street, about three axe handles wide. And I just thought, if she could just see herself. And I think I just thought, I never will wear slacks. And I don't wear slacks.
No?
I don't wear them. And all of my friends do have beautiful suits. But I just, I guess that woman just turned me against them.
If she knew what she had done.
Yeah.
Did you wear long underwear underneath in the winter then?
On the farm we did. I mean, on the ranch when we walked to school we did. When we rode horseback.
It's not true.
Oh, yes, you bundled up. I can, I don't know whether it might be in one of that. I can remember my father driving the horse creek was between us and the schoolhouse, and I can remember that being frozen, not enough to walk across or to drive across, but he would take us kids and take back the wagon as far on the ice as he could. Then the people from the other side would back it up so that the end gates were so the kids could get across.
Oh,
that's
dear.
The way we got to school. Of course, we had earlier, well, even before I went to school, we had school right in the ranch, and they were summer schools. And the teachers we had were something else again. Eighth grade graduates, if they took an examination, and if they could pass that examination, they could teach school.
They could have been 14 years old.
No, you didn't get through the eighth grade when you were 14 in those days, but you could be 18, 17 or 18.
Why did it take longer?
Well, maybe they had to study a little after. They weren't high school graduates, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we managed somehow. My father worked the arithmetic problems for them before they went to school. That's another thing. We always boarded the teacher. Always boarded the teacher. I don't know why. I guess because maybe we had a bigger house, extra bedroom. But I can remember, and I won't say her name. My father had to work the problems for the older pupils, for the eighth graders, the night before, so she knew how to do it.
Do you think you got a pretty good education, though?
Yes, I do. I do.
Did you always like school?
Mm-hmm. Always liked it.
Has religion been important in your life?
Has what?
Religion.
Yes, it has been. Of course, out on the ranch, we had Sunday school intermittently. And when sometimes an itinerant preacher would come through and stay with some of the ranchers and have church on Sundays. And LaGrange was our closest Sunday school, and I never went to LaGrange. I wasn't big enough, but my two older sisters and a brother used to ride horseback, and that was about 12 or 15 miles that they'd ride to go to Sunday school.
My goodness.
And then we did have a little, the Hugheses, that lived down on Horse Creek. She had a little Sunday school, and we'd go just as often as we could. But it wasn't until we came to town that really that we were regular in church attendance. And I guess I sang in the choir for 30 years.
Alto or soprano?
Oh, alto.
Do you think you've had a good, strong faith that helped you through things?
Yes, I do. I don't know what other people would think about that, but I feel...
Well, no one else can think about your faith.
No, it's no one else's business, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I feel that too. I know what I want in that line.
Do you think you learned your religion from your parents?
Well, I think I learned the regard for it.